You may be seated. If you would, turn your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 29. I want to talk to you tonight on the value of prayer. I love the world of prayer, and prayer moves the hand of God. I got to thinking about sermons that I have done on prayer, and I went back just to check myself. I have a spreadsheet, an Excel spreadsheet. I can tell you every sermon that I've ever preached that I have in my notes. I can tell you the title of it. I can tell you when it was preached, and I can tell you the text of that. And I just got to thinking about this great subject called prayer. And I wondered, how many sermons have you ever preached on it, Jerry? I can't tell you how many sermons I've preached on, but I have 53 sermons that I have prepared. I got to thinking about healing. How many sermons have I ever preached on healing that I have prepared, that I've categorized? 53. So then I got to thinking about faith. I said, well, how many sermons have I prepared on faith? And I have 41. That is 147 sermons that I have labored to prepare on these subjects. And one of the greatest subjects of all is the subject of prayer. And the reason I love the world of prayer is because men who changed the world and women who changed the world, they were people of prayer. God has obligated himself to answer our prayers. God has ordained prayer. And when we pray, God does things that God would never do otherwise. And I'm going to give you a lot of scripture tonight, and we're just going to look at this great subject called prayer. Look at Jeremiah 29 and 12. God says, then shall you call unto me, ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken. I will listen unto you. Isn't that wonderful to know that because of the blood of Jesus and you come through the name of Jesus, God listens to you when you pray? Verse 13 says, ye shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all of your heart. God said, if you will pray unto me, God said, if you will search for me with all of your heart, you will find me. That's powerful. God said, if you will pray, I will intervene in human affairs. You know, God says, I want to answer you. I want to show myself strong toward you, but you've got to ask. Now, Jesus talked about three worlds, three prayer worlds. He said, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock it shall be open unto you. So the world of prayer is a world that you'll have to search the scriptures if you're really going to know how to pray. Do you want to be anointed to win the battles of life? Then pray. I probably pray more than I've ever prayed in my life, yet I feel like I don't pray enough. And I've come to understand that prayer is not just petitioning God. When I take my Bible out and I start to read it and I start going through these pages, I am listening to the voice of God. That's prayer. You know what prayer is? Prayer is communication with God. John says, we writing unto you, you might have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship with the Father, with his Son, Jesus Christ. You want fullness of joy? Have fellowship with the Father, with the Son, and with the body of Christ. He said, these things write we unto you that your joy might be full. So I have Jesus' joy. You have it, John 15:11. Put John 15:11 up there before I get started, brother. I love this scripture. The first time I ever read it, and it impacted my heart, I said, I receive that, Lord. I've had this joy ever since. Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Now, you're going to have battles. You're going to have tests. You're going to have trials. You're going to have heartaches. You're going to have sorrow. You're going to have all types of difficulties because we're in a world that there's a real devil, and he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So you better just go on and suit up, put on the whole armor of God, and learn how to pray and learn how to win and pray winning prayers. And that's what I'm going to teach you about tonight, the value of prayer. Let us pray. Father, Thank you so much, Lord, that we can come into the house of God, that we have freedom in this country. We can assemble with people of like precious faith. But, Lord, every time I come on these campus grounds, I feel the anointing in your presence. Every time I get around your people, God, I feel the presence of God because it's Christ in us. We're the temple, God. We are carriers of God. You carry us, Lord, but we carry the gospel, and we are anointed by your Spirit. We have the Holy Ghost and the fire of God to change the world around us. Lord, help us and open our eyes and our ears, and let us pray winning prayers. And the church said in Jesus' name, amen. Now, everybody knows I'm a combat veteran. In a war, you fight to win. That's what you do. And if you're a good soldier or a good Marine, you dig in and you fight until you win. So not only do you fight to win, but you fight until you win. And to win a war or to win a battle in that war, you just don't quit. Don't ever let a quitting spirit get on you. Learn how to prevail in prayer, and you will prevail with God. Don't quit. See, the same principles that apply to prayer, to war, apply to prayer and spiritual warfare. See, we're in a battle. And when I got saved, I had so much love in my heart. And I said, oh, God, I'm a fighter. What am I going to do? And when I read Ephesians chapter 6, it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and power. I said, sounds like somebody's fighting, Lord. And I learned I needed to suit up, put on the whole armor of God, and be battle ready at all times. But Joshua, if we go back to the Old Testament, I'm going to take some Old Testament characters, and I just want to talk about them and how they won their battle, because the Bible says they are examples, or they are given as object lessons for us to look at these stories in the Bible, how they won their battles and the principles in those to help us know how to win the battles of life. Well, Joshua was leading his army against the city of Jericho. Look at Joshua 6 and 2. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thy hands Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. God said, it's a done deal. Your victory has already been paid for at Calvary. So we need to glean some real truths from all of these Old Testament stories. They're examples. Look at verse 3. Now, I've given you the city, but God says, okay, get ready to march. He said, you shall compass a march around the city. All you men of war, we're in a battle, church. All you men of war, go round about the city once. Thou shalt do it 6 days. And the seven priests, now I've got the church involved here, the preachers, they shall bow before the ark 7 trumpets of ram horns, something that came from something living. Hallelujah. That's why the church is alive. We came out of the riven side of Jesus. 7 trumpets of ram's horn, and the 7th day you shall compass a march around the city 7 times. The priest, they shall blow with the trumpets. Verse 5, it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the walls of the city shall fall down flat. And all the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. Now Joshua obeyed God, and the people, they marched around the city. And as they marched, guess what they were doing? They were praying. He said, I don't want anybody talking. In other words, I don't want, God had to do that to shut their mouth. Because they would have been murmuring, they would have been griping, they would have been complaining. They would have been talking like the world out there. But God gave them their marching orders and said, now, I'm going to show you how to win a battle. So they did it one day. God said, do it again. They did it the second day. God said, do it again. They repeated this action until God's command was fulfilled to the letter. And then the miracle came. They prayed their way around that city 13 long, weary times before the answer came. 13 times they marched and they prayed. But when they obeyed God, he gave them the miracle that they needed. If they had left the Ark of the Covenant behind, the miracle would not have happened. See, that ark represented God's presence. If I don't pray before I come to preach, oh, I can touch your head, but there will be no edge on my sermon. It'll just be a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. I can tell when a man has prayed, and I can tell when he's not. And I can tell when I've prayed, and I can tell when I have not. So if they had left the Ark of the Covenant behind, the presence of God, the miracle, it would not have happened. Now, if they had let the trumpeters stay in the camp, the miracle would not have happened. If they had ceased praying after the 12th time, the miracle would not have happened. If they had not shouted before the walls fell, they would have had no miracle. Wow. That's when God spoke to me today. He said, look at that shout. If they had not shouted before those walls crumble, if they had not praised me, if they had not obeyed me, the walls, those impregnable walls that no one could get through, they would not have fallen. But because they shouted the walls down. Hallelujah. I think the church needs to get its shout. Hasha, korumbaya, glory to God. Get your shout back. And in the face of adversity, shout it out. Praise God. Hallelujah. See, there are so many things that happened in the world of prayer. They persisted in prayer as God commanded, and they got the miracle. If you had left off one of those steps, it would not have happened. There are reasons for answered prayer. And the first and foremost reason for answered prayer is obedience. Strict, absolute obedience to what the Spirit of God says. God said, it's not your way. He said, it's not by power nor by might. It's my way. It's by my Spirit. And you'll just have to learn to hear the Spirit. And there are reasons for answered prayer, and there are also reasons for unanswered prayer. And the first and foremost reason for unanswered prayer is disobedience. Now, that doesn't mean that if you're having a delay, that there's something wrong in your life. It means you're in a battle. But make sure, like the psalmist said, search me, O God, try me, see if there be any wicked way in me. Because God has obligated himself to answer our prayers. You know, prayer is like the ocean tide. If you go down to the beach, when the tide begins to roll in, the water's low, and the beach is covered with trash, all kind of trash out there. Then the waves roll higher and higher, and another wave comes up as it comes further and further inland. And as the wave lap higher and higher upon the beach, guess what? You've seen it. It washes all that trash away. Well, that's what the Word of God does to your mind. It washes the trash out through the washing of the water of the Word. Read the Word of God. That's prayer. That's communion. That's listening to God. I used to think I just got to pray. No, I got to read my Bible. I got to hear from God. And then after I hear from God, I've got to let my petitions be known unto God. And then after he sends me out on a mission, I got to learn, hey, that's another kind of prayer. It's called the command of faith. See, there are different rules that govern different prayers. And if you don't ever learn this, you'll be like most preachers I hear. Oh, God, would you please heal this person? Oh, God, would you do this? Oh, God, would you do that? The prayers where I see them all the time. I say, why doesn't somebody on Facebook say, in the name of Jesus, I release God's healing anointing. I'm praying for you. I don't believe that. When I see that, you know, anybody's praying for me, they're going to pray for me. It's a religious thing. You ask somebody to pray for you. If they walk off and don't pray for you, let me tell you, most likely you aren't getting prayed for by that person. It's just a religious step that we have religion. No, God says pray. Jesus said, anoint them with oil. Pray the prayer of faith that heals the sick. So Read the Word of God and pray, and pray again and again. And each time you pray, guess what? It's like that trash. It's like those waves coming in. More and more is accomplished. So each time you pray for a situation, it's like another wave hitting that beach. It's like when we were in Vietnam, we would hit them. I was supposed to go in on an operation. Our outfit, we were the first wave. They didn't send us the first wave. They pulled the choppers and went to another compound and sent the 27th Marines. I was in the 2nd Battalion. They sent the 1st. We were supposed to go the next day. They didn't send us. They sent the 3rd Battalion. And the next day, they sent the 2nd Battalion of the 27th Marines. And I tell you, by the time our outfit hit there, that place, it was really under, it was taken over. All we had to do was go through there and clean up. We had hit it with wave after wave after wave. And so that's the way prayer works. Every time you pray for a situation, it's like another wave that you hit the enemy. You may not see him, but every time you hit him with the sword of the Spirit, you just knocked him down a step. You knock him down another step. You just keep knocking him down, just like Jesus did. It is written. It is written. That's the value of prayer. Hallelujah. See, we shape our future by the world of prayer when we call upon God. And it's thrilling to me that God has obligated himself to answer our prayers. Look at these incredible promises. Look at Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things, things you don't even know anything about. That's powerful. Look at Psalms 51:15. And call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. Man, I tell you, when you get a prayer answer, it makes you just want to praise God and tell everybody about it. Look at Psalms 91:15. He shall call unto me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. And the next verse is my verse. That's when God spoke to me and said, with long life will I satisfy you and show you my glory. Half of what the doctors had done on my heart. When I got back in 30 days, guess what? I was healed. And I have excellent blood flow. God bypassed my heart with collateral arteries. Here I stand. Hallelujah. But that's my verse. I said, God, if you have that much, that you love me that much that you would speak that to me, I've got in my Bible. I mean, I just carry this thing everywhere I go. I got that from, that's Psalms 91. A missionary from Argentina sent me that. God knew where I was. And my wife met me at the back door and says, fear not. He will cover you with his feathers. I said, this is a word from God. I said, you need to read it. I said, read it to me. And when I went back to the doctor 30 days later, I'm reading her book. And I looked down. I said, God will get to you. And I turned the book over. They said, we read a few upstairs, Mr. Nelson. I turned it over. Psalm 91 is in entirety. And I read it. I went up. And they said, we were shocked. Your heart has bypassed itself with collateral arteries. That's good news. Hallelujah. And I'm still got excellent blood flow. That's God. That's a miracle. But I said, God, if you would take time to speak to me like that, I'm going to memorize all of Psalms 91. I go to bed sometimes at night. I just start quoting. By the time I get about a third of the way through, I'm in la-la land. I'm just dreaming away. Hallelujah. But they're powerful scriptures. See, if you live right and believe right and pray right, God has promised to answer you. So pray until. Pray until the answer comes. Now, this is a great principle of prayer I'm fixing to give you. Don't put your faith in your faith. Put your faith in God. Put your faith in what God is saying. See, the devil will get you struggling and say, you don't have enough faith. You do have it. It's a gift from God that you got when you were saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. And how do you get more? Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. So Jesus said, have faith in God. So don't put your faith in your faith. You've got it. Just use it. Use what you got, and God will add to it. So many times, we put our faith in the wrong thing. We put our faith in our ability to pray. People say, oh, pray for me. You're a praying man. Don't count on me. Praise God. Count on the anointing in me, but don't count on me. Amen. We put our faith so much in how often we pray. No, men pray without ceasing. What does that mean? It means you have an attitude of communion with God no matter what you're doing. I had a young man call me and said, I just don't know how to do this. I said, let me tell you, read your Bible, write some scriptures down during your work day. He said, by the time I get home, I'm so worn out, I don't have time. I said, do it during the day. On your way to work, pray. During the day, pray. Just whisper to God. Read your Bible. And just have that time of communion. See, we put our faith sometimes in a particular minister. We put our faith in how often we read the Bible and how often we go to church. Now, all of that's good. But if you want answers to your prayers, put your faith in God. I thought about when we were singing that, I am a friend of God. Abraham was a friend of God. If you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, how could I know that if I had not memorized Galatians 3:29? But see, when you've got that word in you, the Holy Ghost will bring it up. And all of a sudden, man, what a confidence. I am really a friend of God because I am Christ. And if I'm Christ, I'm Abraham's seed, and I'm an heir according to the promise. Glory to God. So put your faith in God's goodness. Put your faith in his promises. Put your faith in God's unlimited abilities. If you would, brother, put Galatians 2:20 up there. I'll probably never finish this, but that's all right. I'm just going to talk out of my heart to you. Galatians 2:20. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And Sister Becky Watson, pray for her. She's going through a hard time taking care of Walt right now. I went out and bought him some lobster soup. He loves that lobster soup. And Teresa and I drove all the way to Rocky Mount to Sam's Club, and I carried him that because he needs something in his body. And I sanctified it before I left for the strength and nourishment of his body. But she was my secretary at Firestone, and she was trying to memorize this scripture. And I'd go at it all day long, and she couldn't get this part. The life which I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Every time I would go out, I would say, the life which I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'd walk back into my office. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. At the end of the day, she could say all of Galatians 2:20. Everybody goes home. I'm in management. I have to stay. And so I'm in there. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. She got it. She got it. She got it. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me. He said, whose faith do you have? I said, well, I have the faith that God gave me when I got saved. He gives to every born-again Christian the measure of faith. I said, I've got the faith. I added to it as I've said. He said, what have you been saying all day? Finally, I said, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I said, oh, Lord, I see it. I have the faith of God. I have Jesus' faith inside of me. And now I've been able to add a lot more. For by grace are you saved. That's a gift of God. And so faith comes from hearing the word. And we feed our faith and we starve our doubts to death. And we just stir up the gifts. We stir up the faith that's in us. So, you know, feed your faith. I pinned this down today. I live by the faith of the Son of God. You have God's faith in you. So feed it, stir it up, and then release it. Hallelujah. Now, it's not just for you. It's not. The gifts of God, they're to bless other people. But when you do hit a battle, I promise you one thing. If you have studied the word and meditated on it, you'll be able to stand with a great confidence. I'm not saying the battle's not going to be there, but you will know that you know, and you'll be sure that you're sure. And if you will pray God's way and believe without doubting in your heart, you will receive from God what you're asking for. Now, we shape the future by prayer. Because when we pray, we're calling upon God. We're not talking to a dead God. We're talking to a God who has promised us that he will be with us. So what is the value of prayer? Now, let's take some Old Testament examples. Moses was a man of prayer, and his leadership impacted the world like no other man that had ever lived. And on one occasion, he spent 40 days and 40 nights in prayer and in fasting. Now, Moses talked to God. It was his communion with God that made him the man of God that he was. Elijah was also a man of prayer. He had a lifestyle that impacted the entire world. He also prayed and fasted 40 days and 40 nights. See, the great men and great women of the Bible, they were people of prayer. They knew God's nature, and they knew the Word of God. So if you're going to study this great world of prayer and be effective in it, you're going to have to believe God. You're going to have to study. You're going to have the Word in your heart. You're going to have to learn to hear His voice. And you must know who God is, and you got to know what God is like. See, when God's Word is alive inside of you, miracles happen when you pray. When you understand the nature of God, it helps you to depend upon Him even more. That I know that my God, my Heavenly Father, loves me. That's the greatest thing I ever found out. That God wasn't mad with me, that God loves me. And He loved me, always had loved me. He loved me when I was out in sin. But now, I'm His child. And Jesus prayed, Father, I pray that the world may know that Thou has loved them as Thou has loved me. Talking about His church. God, He spared not His own Son to deliver us. He gave heaven's best to redeem us. What a loving God. See, when you understand the nature of God, it helps you. See, our strength is in God. My strength is not in my ability. My strength is not in my gifts or my talents. And neither is yours. No, our strength is in God. Now, this is beautiful to me right here. Look at Psalms 8 and 1. There's a man that loved God, the psalmist. Man after God's own heart. O Lord our God, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth, who has set Thy glory above the heavens. In another place he said, the heavens declare His glory. The firmament showeth forth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech. Night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where God's voice is not heard. That's powerful. Look at verse 3, Psalms 8 and 3. When I consider Thy heavens, the work of Your fingers, the moon and the stars which You have ordained, what is man that You are mindful of him? And the son of man that You would visit him. What is man, God? For Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and has crowned him with glory and honor. You have made man to have dominion. That's what it's saying. Over all the works of Your hand, Thou hast put all things under his feet. Isn't that beautiful? He made man to have dominion. Adam sold us out, the first Adam, the last Adam, Jesus Christ. He gave us back that dominion. And we're in a battle, and you have dominion, whether you realize it or not. You have the power of the Holy Ghost. You have the authority of the name of Jesus. And you were created a new creature in Christ to rule and reign on this planet as kings and priests unto God. That's who you are. You may not know it, but that's who you are. Hallelujah. So God thinks about you. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Think about it. God's mind is on you, Brother Schuyler. He thinks about you. And before you ever rolled over this morning, God was thinking about you. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us who God is, and the Bible tells us what God is like. God's word in your heart, if you had it, it'll teach you how to pray effectively. It thrills me. Now, this was the Holy Ghost. Now, I hadn't even preached the sermon, but I knew the account. I preached the sermon probably 5 days later. But when we sold our house, I could have invested money. But the Lord just impressed upon me, pay that house off, the one you just bought. And I went and talked to my wife. I said, what do you feel like, should? She said, I think we ought to pay it off too. Well, that wouldn't have paid it off completely. But I had another account that I had more money in that than I owed on the mortgage. And I took that money, rolled it over, and paid that mortgage off. I preached the sermon later, but see, I knew the story. But if you know the stories, the Holy Ghost will bring it to you. The prophet told the woman that the creditors were coming to take her two sons. Borrow some vessels, fill them up with oil, and don't get a few. Borrow all you can get. She did it. She filled them all up. The prophet comes and he says, now, go sell the oil, pay your debt, and live off the rest, you and your children. That principle was in the Word of God. What was it that in my spirit that told me, go do that now? It was the Word of God. That's because the Word is a lamp unto our feet, it's a light unto our path. But if you don't know these Old Testament stories, and if you don't read your Bible, and somebody doesn't preach it to you, guess what? You won't know it. That's the value of the Word of God. So the Bible tells us what God is like and what He's not like. Because God's Word, it's like God's Word and faith, they're closely related. You know, faith comes from the Word. See, the lack of God's Word results in little or no faith, which leads to few answered prayers. That's why I love that testimony. I love this. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. And every time you say that and you get a home and you get this book and start reading it, I'm sure somewhere the Holy Ghost will speak that to you. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I see you shaking. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. And so those little confessions of faith and how good God is, they mean so much to your prayer life. Now, Elijah was a man, a mighty man of prayer and faith. And when the son of the widow at Zarephath died, look at what she said to him. 1 Kings 17:18. She said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee? O thou man of God, art thou come unto me to call my sins to remembrance and to slay my son? Now, this woman knew she wasn't living right. That's why she asked that question. What do I have to do, old man? Are you calling my sins to remembrance? See, sin and unbelief, they're closely related. So you just got to clean your life up. You cannot have confidence in God to answer your prayers if there's known practice sin in your life. If our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. See, the man of God, he had confidence in God. He was living right. He said, give me your son. He took him up to his bedroom where he slept and laid him in his own bed. You know where he took him to? He took him to the place of prayer. I read that story years ago, and when my children would get sick, I would take them. My wife is my witness. I would lay them in my bed. That's where I talk to God a lot. I pray. I talk to God. If I wake up in the night, I talk to God. I go to sleep. I wake up talking to God. And I would take my children to the place that I commune with God. I'd say, lay in my bed and you'll be healed. I said, the Holy Ghost hovers over me all night long. Didn't I do it, sweetheart? Did they get up healed? Yes, they did. See, you just got to, that's faith. It has nothing to do with how I live. It only has something to do with the Word of God. But I know that if I will live right and I will follow the principles in this book, that God will answer my prayers. So the man of God, he took him to his place of prayer. And the prophet, he got the child out of the atmosphere of unbelief. He got him into the atmosphere of faith. Sometimes you have to just walk away from people. They will think you are absolutely crazy when you start talking faith. And I promise you this, if you're a real man of God, a woman of God, and you get around people, especially preachers, I hate to say it about them, but they will walk off and leave you, most of them. They cannot take 5 minutes of me because all I talk about is Jesus. I don't want to hear about their golf games. I don't want to hear a thing about what Carolina football and basketball. Thank God that we have some relief from that right now. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a clap offering of praise. You ought to read your Bible more right now. I mean, you know, spend time in the Word of God. Football never saved anybody. Football never healed anybody. Football never delivered anybody. Basketball didn't do it either. None of those things will deliver you. I'll tell you what will deliver you. When you become a person of prayer and you know how to wield the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, it will bless your life. But look at this right here. Look at how the prophet prayed. 1 Kings 17:21. He stretched himself upon the child three times. In other words, he persisted in prayer. He didn't just pray one time. He prayed three times. And cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray to you, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah. And the soul of the child came again, and he revived. Wow. Can you see that old prophet? I mean, he's got to get away from that crying mother. Get that unbelief of that mother. What? Did you come to talk to me about my sins? No, I come to do the work of God. If you want to repent, I'll help you later. But I come to raise this child up right now. And some people get mad with you for that. Let the Holy Ghost lead you and guide you. And if you just got to do it when the Spirit says do it. And if you wait, guess what? You miss the miracle. When the Holy Ghost says it, that's the time to do it. So there's power in prayer, and God's word in prayer, they flow together. And as you read the word of God, the Lord will teach you to pray. Now, my mother was a prayer warrior. So I inherited some of this stuff. It's in my spiritual genes. It's in my DNA. I can remember my mother praying. And she would pray. And she would pray the thing through. And then she'd go back doing something else. And then I would hear mother praying for the same thing. And she would pray again. And she would pray it through that time. And then I can remember mother going back praying it again. And she would pray it through. And see, one time wasn't enough. And if you look at the Bible, one time isn't enough many times. But the Holy Ghost would come back. And what he's looking is somebody that when he speaks to you, will you stop what you're doing at that moment and pray? It doesn't take a long prayer. It just takes somebody obeying God and praying. So prayer, like the prayers like Elijah prayed and the other great saints of God in the Bible, they prayed because their prayers were rooted in the Word of God. And that's how they prayed their winning prayers. They had heard from God. They had promises from God. And they knew that God would answer. See, faith is the key to answered prayer. And God's word and your faith, they are closely related. And as you read the Bible, you hear the voice of God. For many years, nobody ever taught me that. I just thought I got to pray, 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 pray. And I didn't realize that, you know, when I read my Bible, I'm praying. I'm listening to God. See, prayer is more than just talking to God, because you must learn to listen and to get direction from God. If you go off doing what you want to do, like me, many times, you're going to mess up big time. I got what I call a flipper. And when my flipper flips, I know, Jared, that's you. Back off. And when I got peace about it, I know that's God. Jared, move in. And that's the way it works. Now, Samuel became a mighty man of God because as a child, he learned the value of prayer. He learned to listen to the voice of God. Now, look at 1 Samuel 3:9. These object lessons, examples. 1 Samuel 3:9. Therefore, Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down, it shall be, if he shall call thee, and thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now, this young boy, he's having to learn to hear the voice of God. He thought Eli, the prophet, had called him twice. He said, no, I didn't call you. But Eli knew, because he was mature in God, even though his sons were backslidden, he won't live in the way he should have been. But he knew how to hear the voice of God. He knew that God was talking to that lad. Look at verse 10. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. Some of the greatest words in the Bible. And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both of the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. The people that hear this, their ears are going to tingle. Where in the world did that man get that kind of knowledge from God? What an incredible promise that God gave that little boy. See, it's in prayer that you develop the ability to hear God. Many times when Pastor Ricky is singing and others are saying, I'm singing along. I'm so glad I don't have to lead it anymore. I'm over here talking to God. I'm listening. I'm saying, God, what should I do next? God, I need help. I want to discern. I feel the Spirit sometimes. Whoa, I just feel him come in over us. But you know, you can miss God. We're human. You've got to learn to hear the voice of God. And so many times I say, God, I hope I didn't miss you. I'm trying not to miss you. But there's so many things bidding for our attention. You've got to get into that quiet place, a quiet zone sometimes. And I spend a lot of time trying to get my spirit man prepared before I ever get here. But what an incredible promise. See, Samuel became a great prophet of God because he learned to listen to the voice of God. And as he learned the word of God, he learned the principles of answered prayer. And he learned to hear the voice of God. And as a result, he was a great prophet, greatly used of God, and he became a world changer. Now, how did he become a world changer? He developed his spirit. Oh, we spend time getting our education. I'm all for education. We spend time going to seminars and church growth and all that. I'm all for that. I mean, praise God, I want to do that. Don't you? But you've got to learn to hear God. It reminds me of the story of this newspaper reporter. He was going through this town. His old man was sitting out on the porch. And he said, sir, to the old man, he said, were any great men ever born in this town? He said, no, sir, only babies. Samuel became a great prophet of God. He was born with an anointing on his life. He was called of God. But had not that man listened to the voice of God, had he not studied and sat under that old prophet, had he not gave himself to the things of God, nobody's ears would have tingled when that man spoke. But God said, if you will listen to me and learn to walk with me, I will make you. And so many times we try so hard. I could care less about the positions they put me in. I could care less about the title pastor. I could care less about the titles that I'm ordained. It means absolutely nothing to me except I have credentials from the International Pentecostal Holiness Church. Now, a lot of people don't feel that way. They can feel any way they want to. Put John 15:16 up there. These are my credentials right here. The International Pentecostal Holiness Church, I'm thankful for the covering. They didn't call me. John 15:16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. My ordination is from God. I'm thankful for the people that laid their hands on me, some of them that laid them on me. I didn't want what they want, what they had. I'll just be real honest with you. I will be real honest with you. God has men of God, and God has some false people out there, too. I don't want people laying their hand on me if they're not living right. And I got a little voice inside me that tells me, too. And I'm not running anything down. I'm just saying I want the real deal when somebody lays their hands on me. If that's hard, I'm sorry. But I know that my spirit tells me certain things. I have ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. Look at this. That whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name. It's Jesus talking. Jesus said, I'll anoint you to pray. I'll anoint you to preach. I'll anoint you to teach. I called you. I ordained you. You're off the hook, son. Just study my word. Do what I say. Live the way I say live. And watch me work through you. And that's the way God does all of us in the church. And I'm thankful for all the education, for the degrees, and for the things that people have bestowed upon me. And I love the International Pentecostal Holiness Church. But let me tell you something. I love Jesus. That's the important thing in your life. And thank God, you know, this church never saved anybody. The International Pentecostal Holiness Church didn't. Neither did the Church of God. And people, they get their eyes on the wrong thing. Get your eyes on Jesus and the Word of God and be thankful for the covering, but don't ever put another God before God. He is God. He is supreme. And I'm thankful for the covering, but praise God, the International Pentecostal Holiness Church is a vehicle. That is it. Jesus is Lord. And that's, people get it all mixed up, so that's why I'm so strong on it, okay? The Bible teaches us that we must contend with God in prayer. You know, you think about old brother Jacob. I think everybody's back in the sanctuary. Jacob was a man that wrestled with God. And we have to contend with God. And he wrestled with an angel all night long. And as the day was approaching, the angel said, "Let me go." And Jacob said, "I will not let you go until you bless me." And the angel blessed him. And look at this, Genesis 32:28. And he said, "Thy name shall no more be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince that has power with God and with men and has prevailed." This man's prayer was so intense. He wanted a blessing from God so much that he wrestled with that angel until the break of day. And that angel hit him in the hip and knocked it out of joint. And for the rest of his life, he walked with a limp, leaning upon a staff. And I tell people, I said, "You're looking at a man that walked with a limp. You just can't see my limp. It's a spiritual limp. I wrestle with God all night long until the break of day. And I said, God, if you will just save me, I promise you, I will serve you for the rest of my days. I have a limp, my friend. I have to lean and depend on Jesus. But I have learned that you can count on God." And I pray that something was said here tonight that it will help you in the world of prayer. Value the world of prayer. Pray for me, that I will pray more. Because the more I pray, the more I realize I need to pray. I look at people and I feel their pain. And a real pastor does that. I want you to obtain your victories. I want you to have great testimonies. And I want this church to be alive with the power of God so that the dying, crying, suffering, broken, fragmented people that we encounter every day, they can come and find this great salvation. It's a great salvation. And we are blessed, 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 and highly favored of God. Because he said, "You have not chosen me." You didn't even go looking for God. He said, "I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit." He said, "I want you to live in such a way and have such confidence in what I did at the cross that whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it you." Let us stand. Hallelujah. Oh,
Lord.